my only prince. Incoming on Neil Wife.
I'm a Republican.
Yeah, Republican.
I'm a Republican.
Is mic on? Okay, you said
I'm a Republican.
Incoming. Morning. Morning.
Good morning.
Let me quickly make a very quick comment. People have been asking me, my phones have been ringing, the recent development in the States, the appointment of this. I have absolutely no comment on that, so let's just move on, okay? We'll move on that. Right, Shola, how are you?
I'm fine. Happy New Year.
Oops, your voice is booming. I need to bring it down. Yes.
Happy birthday in advance, too.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope there'll be a party on Saturday.
What, with the mood? I mean, I'm not in any party mood.
Oh, is it because Tinubu cancelled his colloquium?
No, I didn't have a colloquium. No. Leave that. My birthday mood has been that, but let's leave
that. Okay.
Let's get down to serious business.
Okay.
Because for you, for me, you represent the voice of your generation.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only deal with people of your generation that I know.
Yeah.
And having given birth to you, you know what I mean.
There's no need to recount the history.
There's no need to recount the history. I will tell Sheriff later what I mean by that. Because he's my son. We don't have the same DNA. But let's leave that. He's a project that I love.
Yeah, yeah.
Shola,
yeah.
You and I remember we had a discussion sometime last year.
Yeah.
And we were all hoping, both, I mean, you, I, and other people like you that I mingle with, we were all hoping that that this new dispensation will bring about a new hope for our country. Enough criticism of the president. He is who he is. His style is what it is. But moving forward, we had always thought that we'd look at something fresh happening.
Yeah.
With this recent development, you know, we were talking of the presidency. That's
because
the way we are structured is 60% of our survival politically depends on who is in that driver's seat.
Whether
we like it or not.
Yeah.
Across ramifications, but
from
what you can see
between
the two major parties, let me even start by asking.
Okay.
Do you think that it is worth aspiring to be president if you're not going to go through any of the two major parties? Is it doable?
Unfortunately, it's not doable. And I don't want to restrict it to Nigeria, even in the West. You know, let's take the U.S. for example.
Yeah.
No president since 1789 has emerged from outside the Republican and the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the U.K., which has a very sophisticated democracy, no prime minister has emerged outside the Labour and Conservative Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So Nigeria's political journey is still pristine. We are still tied to the two major parties because, number one, there's no provision for independent candidacy.
Yes.
For now. And even if there's a provision for independent candidacy, the electorate is not sophisticatedly mature enough to make such informed decisions. Our politics is not really about ideas.
Mm.
It's about personalities, religion, and sentiments.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, we are still stuck with the two major political parties for now.
Mm. Now, I think independent candidacy is possible because I take an example from Chief Mko Abiola's victory. Because in principle, he was an independent candidate.
No, he belonged to the SDP.
No. I'm coming. Okay. What I'm saying is that he wasn't a known hardcore politician. He came from outside. I mean, he was in the MPN.
Yes,
but more or less as a nominal.
Yeah, he was state chairman of the MPN.
Yeah.
And funny enough, his first wife, Sibia, lost her senatorial bid, which was very surprising given his influence.
Yeah, but
she ran for Senate in the MPN in 1979.
Okay, but the circumstance of his emergence, he went straight to capture the PDP. He captured the party.
No, the SDP.
I may be flustered this morning.
Yeah.
The SDP.
Yes.
He captured the party.
Yes.
Which means that it's likely that if there was a provision for independent candidacy,
he may not have bothered to.
He could have funded it from top to bottom.
But let's talk a bit about him. One thing that helped him to grab the soul of the SDP
Yes.
was that IBB banned Yar'Adua banned Chiroma. Because he called them the old beat politicians. If Yar'Adua wasn't banned, it would have been tougher because he's more of a career politician, you know. But it was the banning of those old beat politicians that created the room for him to emerge.
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, he emerged out of what you would call the normal political realm.
Yes, you know, and
he was able to, and even with the Muslim ticket, he broke all the rules.
He broke all the protocol.
All the protocols, which means that if we do have independent candidacy, maybe you then have somebody who is acceptable to Nigerians.
Yes,
of all forms would come up.
Even
and
apart
say,
from independent candidacy, I wrote an article which was published in newspapers some years ago that which allowed diaspora voting.
Okay.
I'm an advocate of diaspora voting because, let us look at it. The funds that is being remitted by the diaspora to Nigeria is quite huge. So if they're remitting that much money, why shouldn't they have a say in who governs their home country?
I mean, that is valid. Very, very valid. The only thing is, yes, in terms of that, their rights, yes. But in terms of how it would affect the whatever, we can't even organize the one we're seeing counting one by one. Locally here, diaspora voting will be muddled up.
I'm sure. We'll use technology to make it okay. We'll use technology.
You know, it reminds me of fellas' definition of technology. Is it technology? Say if you press some light, go up. Technology. We are still far behind.
But I think the agitation for that should start.
Yeah,
it takes some time, but I think all voices should amplify that issue because it's a very genuine one.
Yes, at least let's put it to test.
Yes.
Now, let's look at then the two major parties.
Yes.
And look at how, let's start with the PDP. Now, the PDP finds himself in a dilemma now.
Yes.
They want, some people want, some hardliners want it thrown open.
Yeah, the other ones want consensus.
The other ones want consensus. So which do you think, which are you in support of for starters?
To be honest, I'm in support of zoning. It should be zoned.
Mm.
I mean, in the interest of fair play, even the national chairman, Dr. Iyocha Ayu, is from the North Central.
Yes.
So for equity to prevail, I think it should be zoned to the South, if you ask me.
But isn't it also even in their constitution anyway, that it should be zoned North and South, North and South?
But I think there is some kind of abacadabra, to use Nigerian English, and they want it thrown open. And we all know the person that may most likely benefit from it if it's thrown open.
Who do you think would most likely benefit from it?
I think Atiku. He still has his structures intact.
Yes.
I think that was the reason why he deliberately stayed away from the meeting in River State.
Well, in any case, that meeting was domiciled in the office and
of
whatever.
Wiki,
who is
also
running.
Yeah.
He's also an aspirant.
Yes.
Okay, so even if they do, let's play a little bit of a game here.
Okay.
If the PDP presented a northern candidate,
yes.
Atiku, let's just be specific.
Okay.
Because the others are, who do we have there?
We have Tambuwal. Wiki, you have Tambuwal, you have Saraki.
Yes, so.
You have Peter Obi. You have Saraki, you have Tambuwal.
Okay, so you have Tambuwal. So even if they had consensus amongst themselves, I'm sure most likely Atiku would emerge.
Yes.
Okay. Atiku, whether you like it or not, has his very strong influence.
Yes.
Now, how do you think the numbers would work for or against him? Let's assume that the PDP presented Atiku.
If the PDP should present Atiku, the truth of the matter is that he's going to get a substantial block of the northern votes.
That's what I think.
And if he can make an alliance with any of the three zones in the south, then he may coast home to victory.
Like say,
because that was how Buhari ran three times until the fourth time when he aligned with the southwest in 2015. That was the deal breaker for him.
So what would be the deal breaker for Atiku, to align with the east or the west?
The west. Well, it will be tough because you have Jagaban in the race from the west. If you can align with the east and the south-south to counter that,
The south-south is going to get a stumbling block in Wike. Wike is very influential in that region.
Wike, in my opinion, is only influential in River State. I don't see him as a south-south person. He doesn't have that structure spread across the six states of the South. That's the truth.
And then what is the basis of his strength? It must be funds. I mean, he has...
Yes, of course.
He has Lagos State. Yes.
Lagos State is the second most prosperous state after Lagos State.
But how does that translate to funds he might use for the election?
Of course. I mean, we all know that.
But I don't know.
I don't want to...
I was just teasing you.
Yeah, actually.
And we know the way these things work.
Yeah.
But you see, I think you need more than money.
Yeah.
That is one thing that is very, very crucial that we need to look at. You need more than money.
Yeah.
To run these things.
Yeah.
So... Okay, so if you then had, do you give any chance at all to some of the people in the South in PDP? You have Wike, who else do you
Peter Obi.
Peter Obi.
Yeah, you have Ayim.
Well, if we were to go by middle-class thinking and educated people.
Peter Obi should be the favorite choice.
And also from the Southeast.
He's on the Southeast. Unfortunately, our politics is not sophisticated enough to deal with issues. So we deal with a lot of sentiments. Yeah,
I'd love to see Peter Obi president.
Yeah, because he was very profligate. I mean, he was very frugal with public funds when he was Anambra State governor. He saved over 75 billion naira, for instance, which he left for his successor, Willie Obiano, you know. And then.
And that one left 100 million. He inherited.
Yeah, you know, he left 300 million, according to Soludo. When Soludo made his first speech after his swearing in, he said he only made 300 million in the coffers.
Well, how would I put it? It would be sad if we allow a resource like Peter Obi
to waste. Unfortunately, Nigeria wastes its bright and best.
Yes,
its brightest and best. Unfortunately, I mean.
Well, if we flip it on to to the APC side.
Yeah.
So are we saying that all things being equal, Atiku might be the front runner, might be the... Is that what we have concluded here? Yeah?
Well, I don't really want to make a prediction, but Atiku has a very strong chance of grabbing the PDP ticket. Very strong chance.
Yes.
Because apart from the financial war chest, he has structures all over the country.
Mm.
He has business interests.
But isn't he battle-weary?
I don't think so. I mean, yes, age-wise, you'll be 76 in November.
We could do with a younger person, I mean, for God's sake.
Yes.
Because
the truth of the matter is that governance has evolved. Is now we are in the era of e-governance, in the era of knowledge-driven economy. So how does Atiku's ideas... Well, he went for a course. He did a master's degree in a school in the UK in international relations, you know.
I mean, for
but
this...
But I don't... Yeah, for this, for the purpose of this election, but...
That is not what it is. No, I mean, personally, I would love to see a president who is extremely knowledgeable.
Yeah, especially about the economy that is in dire straits.
Yes, economy and international politics.
And international relations, yeah.
I would love... You see, also, we need somebody to stand out there on behalf of our country.
Yeah.
You understand?
And speak head to shoulders
with
the world leaders.
In the language that they understand.
Yeah.
Well, not somebody who can necessarily stand side by side with Macron because he will be speaking in French and I will be speaking in English.
Macron speaks English.
He speaks English.
He speaks English. That is true.
So if we take that and now go to the APC.
Yeah.
Remember that we are not talking about who should be. We are talking about what might be.
Yeah.
Because the choice of a president in Nigeria is not done by educated and middle class parameters.
No.
It's simply by numbers.
It's by numbers, yeah.
That is what it is. That's the reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
So who do you think might be the forerunner and do you think might turn up in the issue in the APC? Remembering, of course, that the candidate in the first instance will be chosen most likely by consensus.
Yeah.
And consensus means who the president wants.
Buhari infamously said he has a candidate, but he doesn't want to mention the name so that the country will not grow up in flames. Well, I think it should be Amaechi.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think it should be Amaechi.
You don't think that... I've had this argument with people.
Yes.
That... I find it extremely difficult for anybody to convince me that Oshibajo, being the vice president,
should not throw his hat in the ring.
No, not should not.
Okay,
just
not,
1 second.
Okay, okay.
1 second. Let me finish.
Okay.
That to convince that Oshibajo would not have had a very deep discussion with his president off air, off what anybody might be. He could stroll down to his villa one day and have a deep. I would be contesting without having almost a dead sure assurance that he has the support of the president.
Yeah.
So I believe that, and I remember that Buhari had said once that, oh, the relationship between himself and this gentleman, Oshibajo, had almost become like that of father and son.
Yeah.
I don't believe that anybody who would be in a position like presidency, who would be in a position like that, would necessarily not have an interest. In who succeeds him.
Yeah.
So I would still push Buhari. I mean push
Yemi
Oshibajo up front.
Okay.
Yes. I don't see the if you have a history of Oshibajo.
Yeah.
I don't think he would be adventurous enough to say he wants to run for that position without having assurances. In fact, I'm inclined
to because he's not a core politician.
I'm inclined to believe that it is very, very likely, given the mien of the two gentlemen, that maybe it was even the other way around. Maybe it's possible that the president told him that, Yemi, I think you need to continue this job that we are doing. people always talk about the 2 months or so when the president was away and
when he was acting president.
And
to be fair to him, he made a lot of decisions that really impressed me in that short period of time.
But some cause problems for him, don't you?
Yes, naturally, his politics, especially with the appointment of the DG of the DSS.
DSS, yes.
That was a key one. Unfortunately, it backfired when
Buhari came back because
the cabal didn't like it.
Well, I don't think he would appoint somebody who is acting and given who he is. I don't think he would have appointed a DSS DG at that time without at least a phone call to the president.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's just a fall guy, really.
Probably. Yes.
So do we then... So, okay, so let's play a bit of a game.
Okay.
If we look at, let's say, something like an Atiku versus Oshibajo.
Yeah.
How do you think that might play out? It will be tough.
It will be tough. It will be too close to call.
Very, very tough.
It will be too close to call.
Because of the voting pattern in the North.
In the North, yeah. It will be too close to call.
And we elites can speak all the Turenti we like on radio. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty,
it's the Amajiris.
Everybody
the Amajiris that vote.
Not even just...
No. Is the Hoi Polloi that really go out in the sun to vote.
Not just that.
Not the Twitter warriors.
Not just that. Even you will discover that when it comes to the nitty-gritty...
Yes.
Okay, when it comes to the nitty-gritty, people have their own, even the educated, they have their own private thoughts and private, everybody wants to hide in his own little section.
Yes, yes.
If Atiku faces Oshibajo, there is a possibility in a free and fair election, if care is not taken, he might overrun Oshibajo in the
same That's it, because of the voting pattern.
And he is likely, I suspect that if he gets the ticket,
yeah,
it would likely then pick Obi as his
replicate what happened in 2019.
Yes,
and even if you ask me, even though Peter Obi has declared for the presidency, his body language doesn't really show
it
much
was at
hunger.
Atiku's launching.
It was at Atiku's declaration.
Yes,
and he has not really come out. He's not really aggressive about it. You know, I've not really seen any manifesto yet from him. I've not seen any campaign plans from him. You know,
but
body language suggests that he's positioning himself to be his running mate again. I don't know how true, I don't know how accurate that viewpoint is, but that's just what I feel. Because I don't see the fire in it. You know, and even the agitations for the presidency to shift to the southeast, for instance, none of the southeasterners is really hitting the ground running, whether it's Peter Obi, whether it's Ayim Pars Ayim, I don't really see that fire.
No,
that hunger.
I think that Ayim Pars Ayim is a lukewarm candidate. I'd rather, even Obi, like you rightly said, I think he's just preparing the ground for him to, his body language going
so
to
suggest that he wants to be
yes,
VP.
Yes, to this is so that's why he'll be glad to be VP. We have to take a short break. Shall
okay,
I?
Okay.
This is the, this is what feeds.
You have to pay the bills.
I have to pay the bills. We'll take a short break. When we come back, 0700-993-993-93-0146-57190. We'll be taking your calls. Don't go away. Okay, you're welcome back to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Diso, brought to you by Amstel Malta. And I have with me the Prince of the South. he says he's Tony, Anthony Adebuloyi. I call him Prince Shola Adebuloyi. For the record, sir, are you looking forward to the throne at some point in your life?
Never.
Never.
I'm a Republican. I've said that time and time again.
Well, we might as well take your views on this incident that happened at the university.
Yes, at Ife. It was very shameful, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was very shameful. Because if you look at the history of Ife, when Awolowo proposed it, Awolowo could have as well taken it to Ikene.
Yes.
But he decided to take it to Ife, with the support of the then owner of Ife, Sir Adesoji Aderemi.
Yes.
And then the school was built in 1962, And the idea of a university is a cosmopolitan environment. What even shocked me was that the current VC that they are fighting against is from Osun State. His only sin is that he's not from Ife. I mean, recently there was a Nigerian lady, a Nigerian American, that was made the president of one of the historical black colleges and universities in the US.
Yes.
Why weren't there protests in that state? That, oh, she's an immigrant. Why was she made president? I think when it comes to the academia, the best brains and the best minds should be there.
Yes.
It shouldn't matter where they came from. Look at UI, for example. The first VC of UI was Professor Kennedike.
Yeah,
from East. He was Igbo.
Yeah.
He wasn't from Ibadan. So I was really appalled by the protest. It went diabolical, charms and everything. They shut down the school. Even Wole Soyinka even criticized it as well. It was a low for me, On that day, I was really sad that I'm on Ife indigene, It was a sad day.
I mean, I was, there's a lot going on with our university education, some very unpleasant things that have happened, using our students for political, not worrying about their future.
Yeah.
We seem to be politicizing. How do you attract the best brains to a place like Ife now when you have something like this?
Yes.
And the VC is just one out of many.
Yes. So, there are other issues.
ASUU's
on strike. You've been on strike for about 2 months now.
Now, people of your own generation, I wonder how they feel. I mean, as you're sitting down here now thinking about your country, do you think, one, your country has been fair to you?
To be honest, the country has not been fair to the youths.
Yes.
The country has not been fair to the millennials. It was fair to our parents. They enjoyed it, but I'm wondering why that legacy was not sustained. Because we all grew up hearing that, after university, there were car loans, there were cars. People ate rice and chicken and with ice cream.
Now that's what they do,
These are all stories in the history books for my generation.
The unfortunate.
And even apart from even the schooling, let's look at the employment opportunities.
Yes.
In the 70s, apart from law, engineering, or medicine, any other field, you could start life with your school cert. So,
yes.
If you wanted to be a banker, you could start with your school cert and then do some professional exams and become a banker. One prominent banker, I don't want to mention his name, started with his WAEC. If you wanted to be a journalist, you could start with your WAEC. I can even recall that even you yourself worked for Daily Time before you went to the university.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of prominent journalists, I don't want to mention names, started with their WAEC and then they rose through the ranks to become editors. Unfortunately, now even a master's degree from the UK is not even, if you don't have the right social capital, that's where it does waste away. Is that bad?
Well, it's by the way, my Daily Times, this thing was a vacation job. There were vacation jobs that were ready for you way back then.
Yeah.
I actually did work for the Ministry of Justice, you won't believe it, for one whole year.
Wow.
Yes, I worked for the Ministry of Justice. Gladly so for my father. He kept thinking that I'd
you do law. Yeah.
But I decided to. But the truth is, the irony is, it is those who enjoyed this the most that have been making life difficult for your generation.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anybody who is my age, okay, who didn't go to school all the way down to university,
was based on choice.
It shouldn't come out in the public and say that it was due to lack of funds
yeah. or whatever. You have said so time and time again.
Time and time again. Yeah. They had the equal opportunities.
Yeah.
So all you had to do was to get your act together.
Yeah.
But it is these same players, these same people who had the fortune. We know them, but they're in our own generation. It's these same people who had the fortune that have now
climbed the ladder, then pushed it down.
You know, and that's always been my constant fight. It's always been my constant fight.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in university, your uncle, your big cousin, is it your big cousin?
Yeah.
Went to KC, like you.
Yeah.
Florian. You know, all of us, he was in Ife.
Yeah.
His mother was in Benin. Young other graduates roaming around Sulere on holidays. There was Vagdrop waiting for you.
Yes.
The bursary, I'm sorry I'm repeating this for the umpteenth time, but I don't care, I keep saying it, was 500. School fees was 9 naira 10 kobo.
So you had enough money to play around with. Yeah.
Hostel was 99 naira. Everything now came to 100 naira out of 500.
So you have 400 naira to play around with.
And you were given admission based on that. So what could have gone wrong?
Yeah.
What went wrong, apart from the military, are a lot of our politicians, like you said, who want to kick the ladder. They want to. They
weaponize poverty.
Yes, not just that.
So to keep the the middle class is even being decimated.
No, not just that. Sorry, 1 second. Okay. Not just that. You also find that there seems to be an attack on education.
Yes, yes.
You want to push youth to the social media to waste their time.
Yes.
And then you shut down universities.
Yeah.
You know, universities. We've been having ASUU strikes even before Buhari's tenure.
Yes, yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, because it's so bad that even the private universities who don't suffer from ASUU strike.
Yes.
The critical question to ask is, how many foreigners do they attract? How many Ghanaians come to the private universities in Nigeria?
As opposed to how many Nigerians go to
Nigerian lecturers, how many foreign lecturers do sabbatical in those universities?
Hmm.
As opposed to Nigerians that run to even Togo, even Benin Republic, where they don't even speak English as a lingua franca for their university education needs.
Well, you can't discount the Nigerian habit of wanting anything but anything Nigerian. They do make both. Everybody wants to travel. Everybody wants to be seen as going out. Okay, I have to open up our lines now. When you do contribute, you know, in fact, in these times now, we have to be a bit more careful. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But you need to call from a quiet place. You need to please stick to the topic. Okay, let's stick to what we are discussing about. That is crucial. And remember that you have 1 minute. And I usually say to people, don't spend 1 minute greeting everybody inside. Good morning to Tony. Good morning to Jimmy Disu. Good morning to Philip. Good morning to this and that. Okay. Or you spend another half a minute saying, I want to do this. Don't do it.
It's a Nigerian thing.
It's a Nigerian thing. Good morning. Good morning, Jimmy Disu. Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Zainab. I would like to contribute to. You've wasted 1 minute already. So let's take the first caller here. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, Uncle Jimmy, good morning, sir.
Morning, how are you?
My ambassador, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Long time no talk.
Ambassador, okay. Are you an ambassador?
I'm not.
It's my own ambassador, Uncle Jimmy.
Okay, it's okay, it's okay. It's a free world. It's okay.
Yeah. For the vice president, you know, I find it difficult pronouncing the name, like you always correct us.
Yes.
As far as the man is still in APC, for me, I'm speaking for myself, with what I went through with APC government, I don't think I'm comfortable with him.
Fair enough.
Then for Peter Obi, people have been pushing for him. Obi. But you don't see any push from him himself.
Yes.
Like the governor of Kaduna, you don't give power in Alakata. Why did they speak that grammar? People in the media, the people listen to radio, they hear Peter Obi. But the market women, the accident, your poster is nowhere. Everybody poster is out there, but your own, you just keep quiet. You say you are not desperate. So I'm not comfortable with him. Your own quietness is too much.
Okay.
Nigerian president, we need somebody.
Okay.
With iron hands.
You know, they say in Nigerian parlances that Peter Obi is stingy. One thing I like about him is he's not a wasteful person.
Yeah.
And he reasons things out. I remember listening to him the other day when he said that, when he wanted to go to Abuja, they gave him a list of police escorts, this and that and that and that. I said, look, why should I feed all these people? He left them behind, called the IG, give me some policemen to meet me at the airport. And, you know, and then I remember a few things that he has said. Yeah. I like him. Yeah. He's very, very practical.
Yeah.
That's one thing I like about him.
Yeah.
He's a very, very practical person. But as far as his visibility goes...
Well, he's very low. That was the challenge.
Yes, well. Hello. Everybody has their own tactics. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Morning.
Thank you very much, Uncle Jimmy.
Yes.
Olafe, my name.
Mr. Olafe, good morning.
Let's look at it like this.
Okay.
The PDP, half of them, want Atiku.
Yes.
The second half of them, they can't pick somebody to attack Atiku in the PDP. Wike doesn't like it at all. If you see the way he reacts, some of them, Tambuwa, all those people go, like yesterday, Fayose was in internet television shouting, I won't step down for consensus. That's number one. In APC, whether anybody say or not, in the primary election will happen. And when it happens, no matter how, you can't beat Jagaban. That's number one. Let me tell you, the people they are voting, they are the Kano, Bono, a little place in the west, that is Yoruba side. This time around, the Kano of Governor of Kano, Governor of Bono, the former Governor of Bono, they have believed in Jagaban.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Your one minute is up. Well, that's we see how that goes. I don't have any comment on that. What bothers me, though, is some of the new things that we're seeing. Well, they're not new, but it's coming up in this era of, for example, people saying that, some candidates saying that, it's the youth that bought this ticket for me. Do you believe in that?
I don't believe in that for several reasons. Number one, most Nigerian youths are economically handicapped.
But maybe the ones that have money are the ones doing it, do you think?
No, I think it's not a good strategy. It's not a good strategy because you must show interest. You must show that you want the job, not that you are being goaded into it.
Mm.
Because let's go down history lane. All the presidents in Nigeria, except Buhari, had always been reluctant presidents. People have always, pushed them to power.
Or at least they make it
seem and we so. Don't want that. We want somebody that is intentional.
Mm.
Even Obasanjo sounded a note of warning recently. That don't listen to candidates who say that their funds were purchased for them. Even though Obasanjo, in my opinion, doesn't have the moral high ground to...
No, leave his moral high ground.
But that's what they said,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what he said. So I think if you want to contest for the presidency, you should be intentional about it and should tell the people what you want to do differently and why we should trust you with our mandate for 4-8 years.
This is how I put it. I think that Nigeria needs a Moses. To take it out, to take him to the...
Her, yeah.
Why must it be female?
Ladies first,
Did you see that?
I saw it.
Anyway, Nigeria needs a Moses to take her, and we need a dogged fighter, somebody who actually does have something to offer.
Yeah.
I believe that. It is intellectually lazy for you to use well-worn tactics.
Yeah,
but a lot of them seem to be saying so. Yeah. This one's a bot form for me. The other one's a bot form for me.
Because we need a leader who is very strong in
and the
economy and international relations.
In the first instance, we need somebody who is honest enough to say that this is what I want to do.
To do, yeah.
I would love to have a leader, somebody emerge in this country, who would say, "If you like, don't vote for me. But this is the plan that I have.
If you like it,
so be it. If you don't like it."
Oh, well, I'm good.
Oh, well, I'm good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take another call.
Okay.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
I just want to lend my voice to the topic. First of all, I want to say that Nigeria doesn't need a president that to satisfy all the demands, I mean, all the requirements that we are talking about.
Yes.
A graduate, first degree graduate, who has done NYSC, that lived in Lagos and probably was posted to Enugu State or Kano State, and has done that and has maybe 1 or 2 years experience, can rule Nigeria effectively. Please don't let us make it sound as if, look, it is not, Nigeria is not developed. Nigeria, we are not so sound when it comes to decision making.
Mm.
We leave everything, we make it look as if it is a rocket science. This thing that we are talking about, Peter Obi, yes, we have fantastic people all over the place. When you talk about Peter Obi, there's a problem with him, we dump him. When you talk about Atiku, we have a problem, he's too old. He said, no, please, sir, I disagree completely.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Rule out in this country.
Thank you, sir. Please, I'd like to reiterate that when you do call, it was out of politeness that I didn't cut this call, but do call from a quiet environment. Make sure you go further, you know, if you don't call from a quiet environment, we won't take you on. I don't agree with what this gentleman just said. I believe that at the minimum, I would not hand over this country to somebody who cannot be the MD of a multinational.
Yes.
Because governance has gone beyond child's play. It's gone beyond intuition.
Yes.
And the evidence is there for everybody to see.
Yes.
If a man cannot run a company, cannot run
a country.
How can he run a country? This governance has become very complex.
Yeah.
So I disagree with him that somebody with the school sat and has done a shit for this and that. No, sir.
No,
sir.
Governance goes way beyond
that. It goes way beyond that now. It's high tech.
Yeah. Another reason why I have a soft spot for Peter Obi is that he has been a successful businessman prior to his entry politics.
And he was also a successful governor.
Yeah. Even before he became governor, he even made history by being the first governor to get the gubernatorial mandate from the tribunal. He was there for 3 years.
Mm, okay. You know. But that's luckily for him.
Yeah.
But let's get back to it. Do you think age is a factor in this current time?
Well, that's a very tricky question, if I must say. But I think, even though I don't discriminate based on age, but preferably, because of the current challenges that we're facing, economy and security-wise, I'll prefer someone that is younger, who can be more agile, who can be more hands-on.
Yes.
Enough people say, Biden became president of the U.S. at the age of 78. But you forget that the American system is so sophisticated that it has structures. So it doesn't really matter who is there. I mean, look at how Trump was there. Trump was a disaster as a president, but because of the structures, it didn't make the presidency collapse. Well, in Nigeria, we still revolve around the concept of the strong man.
Hmm.
So I'd rather prefer somebody that's younger, maybe 50s, early 60s at the maximum.
Hmm. Also, because handling Nigeria is a hands-on game.
Yes.
You would need a president
who is hands-on.
Yes.
You know, who we can feel his presence at all times.
Mm-hmm.
He's our presence at all times.
So we are both agreed that education is definitely key.
How can you relate with the U.S. president or British prime minister if you don't have a very thorough understanding of international politics or the economy, how global economies work?
Just make a mess of it.
And then what about counterterrorism? You know, is there? Boko Haram was attacked recently. They attacked a town in Borno and they even destroyed some mosque. You know, so I mean, we need a leader who is really in tune with global best practices of the economy.
Without mentioning names, what about even those who are coming with baggage?
That's another challenge.
From all sides, do we say that the baggage doesn't matter?
The baggages matter. We must be able to trust you as a public figure. Your life must be like a book.
Mm.
You know, because you are our servants. You are not
an open
our
book. Master.
Yeah, we must be able to read you. We must be able to flip through all the pages. You know.
Mm.
Yeah.
And then tick the boxes.
Yes, yes.
So if Arthur Anderson call on you and say, can you draw up
a blueprint
for who you want your leader to be?
Yes.
Let's start from the age.
Yes.
Educational minimum education will be what?
because of the complexities of modern day economy, I'll say a master's degree.
Well, that's from your, degree. But that's from your generation. Yeah. So people will tell you that even the good old Cambridge. I think that, do you think that experience in the corporate world would be an asset?
Of course, it's a great asset. It's a very great asset. Experience in the corporate world, I mean, will come in handy. If you're not played either office politics and risen through the ranks in the multinational, or you've not owned a business and grown it and scaled it.
Yes.
You know, then you have no business, because politics should not be seen as a profession. You should have a second address as a politician. That's
where first address, really.
No. What I'm saying is when you are in power,
there
should be a second address.
Yeah.
Life after outside office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that this issue of corruption will be reduced to the barest minimum.
Well, if we want to talk about issue of corruption, really.
Yeah.
Then we'd have to focus a bit on party funding.
Yes.
The way parties are funded now.
Yes.
Are such that you wait for somebody to... I have a friend called Chris on this program. I've never seen him.
Yes.
But he's my very good friend. What he calls Gbemu.
Yes. Yeah, I want to talk on party funding briefly.
Yes.
Most of the funds that come from the party are from the governors.
Yes. That's made them influential.
So that makes them, that's why they have absolute control over the delegates when they want to have elections, you know.
Mm.
I want to see a situation whereby party members themselves can contribute tokens.
Like it happened.
To run the party.
In the time of your grandfather.
Yes. Because, well, let's even go down memory lane a bit. Let's look at when Obama was contesting for the first time in 2008.
Mm.
He didn't have the money that Hillary Clinton had. He didn't have the backing of the donors that she had. So what did he do? He cashed in on technology. He did a crowdfunding campaign, and it was so successful that he raised the highest amount of donations ever in the history of American politics. So I'm looking at this situation by, I'm a member of APC. Let's say APC has about 20 million members, for example, or let's say 10 million members, for example. And then these 10 million members graciously pay dues of about, let's say, 1K every month. If you multiply 10 million by 1K, it's very substantial. So the party don't need to over-reliance on the governors.
Don't you think that this also has to do with the demands of the populace? A populace that will not vote unless they are paid.
That's the problem. That's the problem. There needs to be a change of mindset. There needs to be, we need to pioneer a narrative change that if a man seeks public office, he should be supported instead of the other way around.
Mm.
I mean, I was talking to one man who has declared his ambition for Senate. I don't want to mention the constituency. But when he ran for where I live, you know, he ran for the Federal House of Reps in 2011. He said when he goes for campaign meetings, the masses that he wanted to liberate will make demands that they want to eat chicken, they want to eat rice, some corn, money for school fees.
They want shawarma.
Money for school fees, money for medical bills for my aged mother. So the demands were very much on him. So why wouldn't they abandon the masses when they get there?
Okay. Sure. I mean, the point is noted. I need to take I can only take two more, then the techers are coming in. Madam. Look at that. You're breaking the lines are there. Everybody's calling. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning, ma'am.
Good morning, Mr. Tony.
Good morning.
This is Pastor Ladipo calling from Orilegum.
Sorry. Yeah.
Uncle Jimmy, my own take is this. If we are going to get someone, let's look deeply into the competency of that person, irregardless of where this thing is zoned.
Oh, yes.
My own zoning is let this person be very, 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 very competent. And let's see this antecedent in the past. Unlike when we brought a man who left governance 30 years ago, only to come back and make mess of everything. So this time around, we must be very, 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 very careful and be concerned about the person's integrity and his competency.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, yes, the only problem with zoning is that, Shola, correct me if I'm wrong, whether you like it or not, it's become a part of our lives.
Yeah.
We have been skewed in that direction. It's going to be very, very tough. Zoning has become a part of our life. Religion.
In fact, they even have a federal charter commission.
that exactly
gives government back into zoning.
Zoning. I mean, yes. So it's a pity we can't run away from it. At least not just yet.
Yeah, it's because our politics is still in its pristine form.
Yes.
It's not sophisticated. It's
by the way, before you go, your grandfather was a politician.
Yes.
Your dad is not. Are you thinking of politics at all?
No way.
No way. Why?
Well, I have a lot of ideas, but the way politics is played in this part of the world, men of ideas don't really count.
People like you
count.
Don't go in to correct it. I mean, hey, you know, it would be nice. Maybe you should try at least start with the House of Assembly.
Let's see how it goes.
So therein comes this nonsense indigenship thing.
Yeah.
You can't collect it. You should go to when you go to Ife, they say you're from the diaspora.
No, well, there are some non-Lagosians that hold elected offices in Lagos State. I think Lagos is the most liberal because of its status as the economic center of the nation.
But even if you are here, if you go to Ife, they will tell you that.
Yeah.
Even though you're a prince, Ife can choose you to
I'm not Ife enough.
Ife, they say, no, you have been in diaspora.
Yeah.
Then they say, look at you, the other half of you is Ishan.
Yeah.
But yeah. You speak Ishan, by the way.
Not friendly, but I get by.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sure people will be glad to know that I've actually spent most of my youth core in his granddad's house in Benin. Small world, isn't it?
It's very small world. Yeah.
Okay. We just have about, it's 9:52. I can just about take just one more call. Just one more. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Uncle Jimmy.
Morning.
What you've been saying is what it should be.
Yes.
But the problem of Nigeria is that it's a problem of trust.
Yes.
We don't try to trust each other.
Yes.
But fortunately for the North, they have the voting power. So whoever they want is who will emerge.
Exactly.
That has been the problem of Nigeria. All this competency and all this is, people look at it, yes. But how many of us are listening to all these programs will vote on that day?
Yes.
So that's a problem. The EU problem is a trust problem.
Mm-hmm. I agree, sir. Thank you very much, sir. And God bless you. This is where we'll have to draw the curtains today. Wow. I've been speaking to Mr. Tony. He's a Republican.
Yeah.
We'll call him Prince.
Yeah, Mr. I can't believe that the show has come to an end. Having a lot of fun here.
But you'll be back pretty soon.
I'll be back. Yeah.
Because you and I are still going to talk about mental awareness.
Yes.
We are going to do that. You know, we'll talk about that. We'll bring you back in another 2 weeks.
No problem.
Okay, this is where we're going to end it for today. We'll be back again tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Tomorrow, we are going to educate ourselves on how to wait through this political period in terms of expressing our public opinion. We are going to look at it critically, watch out for all the various landmines. Sometimes when you are shocked beyond reason, it's better for you just not to say anything, like it happened to me this morning. These things do happen. The techers are around the corner. They should be here. Take a 2, take a 1, leaving take a 3, my favorite guy at home. Zainab, thank you very much. I like your shirt, though. But there's still argument on whether it is small or medium. All right, so I'll be back again tomorrow by 9 o'clock. I'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.